In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, yes, it is time to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10 and the Bangor Drive-In. Alan Adams of The Main Edge joins us. Hello there, Al.
Oh, hello, sir. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. How's your steamy Monday going?
It's pretty toasty out there. I had the added bonus of taking a trip to the dentist today.
Oh, my. How did that go?
Considering, you know, I haven't made physical contact with a human being who's not my wife in 4 months, it was weird having someone with their hands in my mouth.
Oh, God, yeah, bad.
But it was great. My dentist, College Avenue Dental, they were great. Like, they have all they're clearly doing it the right way. So it's like, they did a great job of alleviating my not inconsiderable anxiety about the whole process. And here we are.
Excellent.
Getting ready to talk some movies.
Glad to hear that. And your weekend went well?
It was good. We actually scheduled plans to go out. My in-laws just got a big new boat, and Sheridan and I were going to go out and have some properly socially distanced boat time with them. And then the axle broke on the boat trailer about a mile away from their house.
Oh.
So that was that for boat time.
Sorry to hear that. Well, I hope you made the most of it anyway.
We sure did.
All right, let's talk movies. What did you get to see this weekend?
I actually saw a fair number of movies. There's one real quick I want to talk about. We don't need to invest a lot of time in it, but there was a documentary that premiered on HBO last week called Showbiz Kids. I don't know if you had an opportunity to check this out.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
It's directed by Alex Winter, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure fame.
Right.
And it's this... It's one of those things where I feel like we have a tendency to focus fully on the negative ramifications of child stardom, and this movie does some of that, but it also sort of embraces a little bit of the it's not all doom and gloom, I guess, is what's interesting about it. And because Alex Winter himself was a child star, like, before Bill and Ted and The Lost Boys and all that stuff, like, he was on Broadway. Like, he was on Broadway starting when he was, like, 6 or 7 years old.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, he really, he really comes by it honestly. He had a real interesting and eclectic group of sort of former child stars to speak to. Folks like Evan Rachel Wood, who's currently on Westworld. Henry Thomas, who was Elliot in E.T., Mara Wilson, who was Matilda, among other things, and then has embraced kind of a second life as a delightful Twitter follow. If you don't follow her on Twitter, you absolutely should, because she's really smart and really really sharp and really clever. As well as they had a young man named Cameron Boyce who came out of the Disney machine in the aughts and the 2010s. And some older child stars as well, and so it was a wonderful sort of snapshot of what it's like for some of these people that were in the industry without becoming like full on cautionary tales, because it's important and we need to have those conversations. But at the same time, it's nice to see some of these folks who made it through more or less unscathed.
That sounds great. I think I need to check that out.
Yeah, you should check it out. I think you would dig it, Rich. I will stay in the documentary vein because I don't know if you've had an opportunity to check it out. On Hulu, they're currently screening, after about a month and a half of delay, We Are Freestyle Love Supreme.
No, I was watching Lin-Manuel Miranda tweet about it, and I don't have a Hulu subscription, but I really want to see this.
It's really pretty great. Like, it's one of the things I sort of mentioned in the review. I don't mean to brag, but I feel like there are relatively few people out there as equipped to review this movie as myself.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Leaving aside the sort of work as a film critic, you know, as you well know, you know, I've been improvising for over 10 years now. And as you're well aware, I am the two-time winner of the Downtown with Rich Kimball Downtown Throwdown Rap Battle.
Exactly.
So if you add all those things together, it's pretty clear that, that this movie's kind of in my wheelhouse. For those who are unfamiliar, Freestyle Love Supreme is it's an improv troupe, a freestyle hip-hop based improv troupe started by, among others, Lin-Manuel Miranda back in 2004. And this movie, which incorporates archival footage from those early days, as well as the sort of reunion of the group when they did off-Broadway and Broadway shows at the tail end of last year and the beginning of this one, it's just this wonderful look at the people who were involved in the group. And the temptation is to look at it as sort of like a Lin-Manuel Miranda origin story, because he's sort of the biggest name to come out of that crew. But the reality is it's just a wildly just talented collection of people, like just staggering. Like, it kind of started, it more or less started with, during the rehearsal breaks, during the early sort of readings and development time of In the Heights,
right,
was Lin-Manuel Miranda's. But Chris Jackson, who went on to star as Washington and Hamilton, was also in The Heights, and there was a good deal of sort of freestyle rapping during these rehearsal breaks, because these guys all they love hip hop, and they come from it with that sensibility, and they also have that sort of musical theater kid sort of enthusiasm. And so you put that stuff together, and obviously it's like, the obvious answer is we're gonna start an improv group. And so that's what they did. Those guys, along with Tom Cale, who directed In the Heights and Hamilton, as well as guys like James Monroe Iglehart, who won the Tony for being the genie in Aladdin, Utkarsh Ambudkar, who he's probably best known for the work that he did in Pitch Perfect. But he did if you remember the rap recap that happened at this year's Oscars ceremony.
Oh yeah.
That was him.
Oh wow.
So it's just this incredible, talented group of people. And it's just this wonderful look. And anyone who has ever, who has ever been in that sort of, whether it's an improv group or a theater company or a band or any of that stuff, like watching these people interact with one another, it's just like, yes, that is what it's like. It's just the sheer joy of people who've come together to celebrate their shared interests and to make one another laugh and have a good time. And that's the energy that just bubbles from this documentary. It's a quick watch. They've done a great job of incorporating the archival footage, and they do a lot of the sort of talking head style interviews, and they incorporate a lot of footage from these later sort of shows, the ones from from Broadway and whatnot. And so you get a real sense of what these guys do and how the games they play and how they play them. And if you have any sort of improv background, stuff's going to look kind of familiar, but not really familiar, because they're doing it all like via freestyle rap. And I don't know if that's something that the majority of us are really prepared for.
That sounds even tougher than our A to Z game, Alan.
Right? And I've tried to do that before, and it's hard. Like, it's really hard, and these guys make it look like it isn't. And that's, it's really just, and there's so much joy and so much, like, just, they clearly love one another, and they clearly love what they're doing. And even though that so many of them have gone in these different directions to just huge, massive fame, they still like love it, and they love each other. And they like stories of like Lin-Manuel Miranda telling stories like him and Chris Jackson would get out of a performance of In the Heights and then sprint to wherever Freestyle Love Supreme was performing in hopes of getting there in time so that they could perform the late show. You know, like, you don't do that unless you love it.
Right.
And that's just top to bottom, like everything about this movie just really celebrates that. So I can't recommend it highly enough. Just a great time.
That sounds wonderful. Can't wait to see it. What else you got for us, Al?
Well, my last one tonight is it's a movie called The Sunlit Night. It's directed by a guy named David Nent, and from a screenplay by Rebecca Dinerstein Knight, who adapted her own novel. And it stars Jenny Slate as this artist who makes her way. She's struggling. She's dealing with instructors and mentors who don't necessarily believe in what she's doing. And so, you know, she's getting turned down for grants and for fellowships. Like, she has to move. You know, she's living with her equally frustrated parents who are living in a tiny New York City apartment. Her parents, played, by the way, by Jessica Hecht and David Paymer, who it's always great to see David Paymer.
Oh, I love him.
And so he's great. And he's like a really angry and a disgruntled medical textbook illustrator. Like, that's his job. he draws and paints these illustrations for medical textbooks. So she's struggling. She's just gotten dumped by her boyfriend. Like, it's just nothing's going right for her. And so out of the blue, this kind of lifeline arrives. This sort of once prominent, but faded and notoriously difficult artist named Nils, played by, and I apologize, sir, if you happen to be listening, Frithjof Sahim, he's seeking an assistant to help him with this project. He's painting an old barn, various shades of yellow. So it's a little bit of a dig at like the sort of, oh, the Christos of the world and that sort of thing. The only issue is the barn is actually on one of the Lofoten Islands of Norway in the Arctic Circle.
Wow.
So it's like this isolated place in the middle of nowhere. And so she goes out to work as his assistant, where she finds out that he's super cantankerous, antisocial, bit of a drinker, who just basically growls and grumbles all the time, and has very little interest in her as anything other than a means to an end. She also meets some of the locals as well. Chief among them, and this is, it's so weird. It's one of those weird things that sometimes happen in this kind of indie movie. So there's a sort of a local Viking reenactment camp, and the chief of the reenactment camp is an American dude from Cincinnati, played by Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, that's perfect.
Right? It's such a weird thing, and it's and so she basically is like living this weird life of isolation. Things take a turn when she meets a young man by the name of Yasha, played by Alex Sharp, a young man who has come to Norway to give his deceased father, a Russian baker, the Viking funeral he always wanted. And the two of them wind up connecting, finding something in one another, but it's difficult to determine whether that will be enough and if she will be able to find the artistic sort of passion that seems to have gone out in her. It's one of those movies where the good parts are really good, but the bad parts are tough. Jenny Slate is incredibly talented. Mm. She's a wonderful actress, and she does a great job of sort of capturing that sort of confusion, the artistic struggle, and a little bit of wide-eyed naivete, which is like she's 38 years old. Like, she's a lot older than I thought she was, but she still manages to sort of bring that sort of youthful energy. And I can't stress enough, the cinematography in this movie is beautiful. Like, they filmed on location, and so you've got the stark Norwegian landscape just sort of unfolding all around you, and it's always got this light, and because, you know, again, in the Arctic Circle, the sun never really goes down, and so there's a lot of like weird like quasi twilight shots that are really just sort of really wonderful sort of stereoscopes and rocky coasts and all these so you have these moments of bright color that pop among the muted land. It's just really stunning to look at. That said, it is an indie film, and it sometimes succumbs to that indie film thing of trying a little bit too hard. It's like a little bit of it's quirky for the sake of being quirky sometimes. Like, there's a moment where the artist, Francis, finds a potential model working in the freezer of the local grocery store, just sort of like she's getting milk and she looks in, and then there's this person that she decides she wants to paint, like stuff like that. And then, of course, the aforementioned Zach Galifianakis as a Viking chief, only he's a dude from Cincinnati. It's weird because he doesn't seem like super. It's almost like he's like a little confused as to how he got here. Like he doesn't really know like how he managed to arrive in this place and doing this thing. Slate's great. David Paymer is wonderful as the sort of really grouchy, angry, like resentful sort of, you know, artist guy. But then you've got like Alex Sharp, who's doing, I called it sort of a mopey pixie dream boy thing. It doesn't really work. Before I forgot, Gillian Anderson shows up as Yasha's Russian mother with an accent that's like straight up Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle. Like it's just like it's like this ridiculous accent. It's an extended cameo at best. Like you get the impression that she was available for literally one day, and so they're like, "All right, well, let's just put Jillian in as much stuff as we can because she's got the she's got the next ferry out of here at 8 a.m." But it's the sort of movie that doesn't really accomplish everything it sets out to do. It's uneven, and there's some pacing issues. The tone's not always consistent. I gotta say, like the work from like Jenny Slate and again, just looking at this movie, like just getting that sense of the Norwegian landscape of the countryside and all that stuff, I think more than enough to offset what issues there are. Like it's not a great movie, but I'd say all in all it's pretty good.
I'm intrigued enough that I want to check it out now. It sounds pretty interesting.
Excellent.
Cool. That's Alan Adams talking movies with us. Here on Pass the Popcorn. Now, maybe I'm getting my schedule right. No Main Edge this week, right?
Nope. Right. We will be back on streets with our new edition on July 29th.
Excellent. All right. So then we'll talk with you next Monday when we chat about movies again.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Fantastic. Hope your week goes well. And I look forward more than anything I can imagine to next Monday when we can do it all again.
Oh, you're a sweet guy. Back at you, baby.
Thanks, Al. Alan Adams of the Main Edge talking movies. You're on Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by the Bangor Drive-In. Big show this weekend with Blake Shelton, Gwen Stefani, Trace Adkins. Designed just for outdoor theaters all over America. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And then the following weekend, Motor Booty Affair live at the Bangor Drive-In. Check that out as well. For tickets and information, go to their Facebook page for Bangor Drive-In.